Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sterling and Wilson Renewable Energy Limited Q2 FY26 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sandeep Thomas Mathew, Head Investor Relations, for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, and good evening, everyone. We have with us today Mr. C.K. Thakur, our Global CEO, and Mr. Aditya Pratap Singh, our CFO, and SGA, who are our Investor Relations advisors. We will start today's call with the key operational highlights for the quarter and industry outlook, followed by the financial highlights by Aditya, post which we will open up for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Sandeep. A very good evening and best Diwali wishes to all the participants on this call. Before we move to the operational and financial highlights, I would like to begin by addressing certain important legal and financial developments during the quarter that have had a material bearing on our results. During Q2 FY26, three legal matters concerning our U.S. subsidiary, Sterling and Wilson Solar Solutions Inc., SWSS, reached critical stages. These pertain to legacy projects executed a few years ago. The first issues, the Conti LLC arbitrations. As previously disclosed, Sterling and Wilson Solar Solutions Inc. was engaged in arbitration proceedings with Conti LLC USA relating to a project executed a few years ago. During Q2 FY26, the arbitral tribunal issued an interim award under which the claims filed by SWSS amounting to $55.06 million, approximately INR 485.64 crore, were dismissed, and Conti LLC was granted an award of $6.44 million, approximately INR 56.8 crore, plus interest. As this amount of rupees 485 crore was reflected as receivables in our consolidated books, we have fully written off this amount during the quarter. Consequently, this resulted in a one-time non-cash impact on our profit and loss statement for Q2 FY26 and a corresponding reduction in our consolidated net worth. Accordingly, we have written off an amount of rupees 580 crore in our books for the award value, including applicable interest and approx legal charges payable towards the amount awarded to Conti LLC. Second issues, the second matter pertains to our earlier disclosure regarding a customer of SWSS in the United States. During the quarter, the customer invoked a standby letter of credit amounting to $7.19 million, approximately INR 63.47 crore, which was subsequently honored by the issuing bank and reimbursed by SWSS. The SWSS invocation was related to a contractual dispute for which litigation is already ongoing with the said customer. We will seek recovery of the amount paid through the ongoing legal proceedings. Lastly, we have concluded a mutual settlement with OEG Inc., another U.S.-based counterparty, thereby closing another litigation matter. As per the terms of settlement agreement signed on October 9, 2025, SWSS will make a settlement payment of $2.25 million approximately 19.95 crore INR to OEG Inc. as against their claim of approximately $7 million in two tranches payable during October and November 2025. This settlement has been accounted for in Q2 FY26, leading to a one-time financial impact of INR 19.95 crore. To summarize, the cumulative impact of these three matters comprising the write-off of rupees 585 crores and the settlement payment of rupees 19.95 crore has materially impacted our Q2 FY26 reported results, primarily as one-time non-recurring items. While these are largely legacy project-related issues in our U.S. subsidiary, their resolutions, while financially painful in the short term, represents a significant step towards cleaning up the balance sheet and enabling management to focus squarely on operational performance and profitable growth going forward. Now moving to the operations, our order inflows have picked up a lot of momentum. We have bagged 5 new orders since Q1, including our first order from international market this year and 4 projects from domestic market. Our cumulative order inflow this fiscal now stands at approximately INR 3775 crores and we have already picked up orders of nearly INR 3000 crores since Q1. In the international market, we received an LOI for a 115 megawatt turnkey project in South Africa valued at approximately $120 million. As we have stated in the call before, South Africa continues to remain a key focus market for us, and this will be the third project that we will be executing there. In addition to these 3 projects, we continue to be in close dialogue with a few large players there and are hopeful of concluding few more projects soon. Our domestic solar EPC market has continued to grow at a rapid pace, and we have been able to bag new projects primarily from ESU space this fiscal. There was a slight pushback in the reverse auction calendar, which meant a large number of these auctions happened in late September or towards early October, and many more continue to be in the pipeline. We have been awarded a 304 megawatt peak turnkey project in Khavda worth INR 818 crores. In addition, we were also declared L1 in 2 balance of system projects of a leading PSU in Rajasthan and Uttar Pradesh respectively. The combined EPC value of these 2 BOS projects is approximately INR 760 crores for 943 megawatt peak. In addition to the PSU order wins, we also received an order from large private IPP for a 421 megawatt peak BOS project in Rajasthan worth INR 372 crores. The values I have indicated are excluding taxes and O&M and refer to the attributable EPC order value to our EPC order backlog. Now, coming to our unexecuted order value, it currently stands at INR 9,287 crores compared to INR 9,096 crore as of March 25 and approximately INR 8,348 crore as of June 2025. About 84% of our current order book comprises domestic Indian projects, while the international UOV comprises primarily 2 projects in Europe and 3 projects in South Africa. As I had indicated in the previous call, financial year 26 is setting up to be a very good year for the domestic solar EPC market on the strong bid pipeline. Awarding activities from both PSU and private IPPs is expected to remain strong traction in the second half, and despite healthy ordering activities seen in first half, we are still seeing a pipeline of nearly 25.2 gigawatt with over 17 gigawatt slated for ordering in the second half of this fiscal in India alone. Over and above the solar EPC pipeline, we will continue to target BESS project and select hybrid wind EPC projects as well. In terms of execution, our scale-up plans continue to remain on track and execution remains steady despite the seasonal challenges associated with monsoons and the improved top line of Q2, which has grown 70% year-on-year, is reflective of the same. I would like to reiterate that we continue to remain patient and careful and carefully evaluate projects in India and overseas and are focused in targeting profitable orders. Our O&M portfolio outlook remains strong. Our current portfolio stands at 9.1 gigawatt as of September 2025. We are hopeful of bagging a few large third-party O&M orders as well as benefit from our internal large stream of EPC projects which are nearing completion, which will feed our O&M portfolio and should aid a meaningful pickup in the revenues. From the financial perspective, our Q2 FY26 results include the full recognition of one-time exceptional item arising from the legal matters discussed earlier. Excluding this, the core business performance continues to remain operationally strong. We continue to maintain our overall target margins, including O&M, in the region of 10 to 11%, with the O&M segment sustaining margins of over 20 to 23%. Our focus remains firmly on timely execution, cash flow discipline, working capital optimizations, and profitability. With this, I'll ask Ajit to take you through the consolidated financial highlights. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Shiketi. Happy Diwali, everyone. Our operational performance has been largely in line with our expectation during the first half. Execution continued to improve despite monsoon-related disturbances in Rajasthan and Gujarat. Our second quarter revenue grew by 70% year-on-year to INR 1749 crore as against INR 1031 crore in second quarter of FY25. While our first half FY26 revenue are up 80% to INR 3510 crore as against 1946 crore in first half of FY25. Our top-line performance in the first half is fairly indicative of what we set out to achieve at the start of this fiscal. On the gross margin side, our first half FY26 gross margin was 10.3% compared to FY25 gross margin of 10.1%. Sequentially also, our gross margin dipped to about 8.9% this quarter versus 11.7% in Q1. As domestic EPC margins were impacted by commencement of revenue recognition in a few large turnkey projects, including module in our scope, which tend to have overall lower margins compared to sole BOS projects. Our operational EBITDA, which is operating revenues less recurring overheads, amounted to INR 62 crore this quarter compared to approximately INR 23 crore seen in Q2 of FY25. And INR 123 crore seen in prior quarter. Our recurring overheads saw a marginal increase this quarter at INR 94 crore, primarily due to higher legal expenses. As CKT has alluded to in his opening remarks, we had to provide for certain large one-off expenses related to US arbitration ruling and final settlements, which pushed up non-recurring expenses to over INR 637 crore and resulted in the reported EBITDA loss of INR 470 crore during the quarter. Consequently, our PAT also was a loss for INR 478 crore during this quarter. In addition, in the standalone results, the company's investment in the subsidiary, loans given along with accrued interest thereon, and other receivables aggregated to INR 3196 crore. considering the unfavorable outcome arising from the county arbitration order, which we spoken earlier, resulting in loss of amounts that were considered recoverable and the outflows towards only settlements, and our 600 crore are considered non-recoverable from the wholly owned subsidiary, and hence the company has written off the loans to that extent. Further, considering the inordinate delays with respect to the Nigeria project, we have made an impairment provision of INR 2038 crore from the wholly owned subsidiary during the quarter in our standalone financials. The said amount aggregating to INR 2638 crore has been classified under exceptional item in the statement of unaudited financial results for the quarter and 6 months ended 30 September 2025. This was already considered in consolidated results as prior year's losses from international business. With this exceptional provision in standalone financials, net worth of our standalone and consolidated financials will get aligned. Now coming to the balance sheet, our gross borrowings have increased to INR 1194 crore due to a fresh INR 475 crore term loan that we availed and got disbursed from IRDA during Q2 FY26. Our cash and bank balances stand at INR 452 crore. Our net debt increased during the quarter due to higher payment of vendors from the term debt of IRDA and Bank of Maharashtra and stands at INR 742 crore. We have also raised an indemnity claim for September 2025 on the promoters, SP Group and Mr. Karshit Daruwala, for approximately INR 178 crore, which is expected to be paid by November 30, 2025. We continue to make progress on our banking limits front and have cumulatively been able to obtain sanction of fresh credit lines to the tune of nearly 2,000 crore INR since the start of this fiscal, including surety bonds. With this, we can now open the floor to questions and answers.
Thank you, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. First question is from the line of Prateek Jalan from TradeX Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi. Mr. Prateek.
I'm audible? Yeah.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, greetings for Diwali. My first question is regarding Nigerian project. What is the update on Nigerian project and the Reliance project?
Yeah, hi Prateek. Hi. On Nigeria, status remains quo, although there has been some development. The development is like the earlier, in the last call, we probably discussed that the agreement was signed between the utilities of Nigeria government, a large utilities like NPPC in India and all, and Sterling Wilson's. Now the SPV has been formed, and the terms of the payment are being procedurally, it is taking a little time, but the project is still on. But I mean, it is getting delayed unexpectedly.
Then whatever, if you don't mind saying, you know, the Nigerian project and the Reliance, Nigerian project is on the book from past 2 years, and that's also creating a misleading to investors, you know, because a lot of people are investing just because of the Nigerian order, and it's been delayed from past 2 years.
So that is true. So the project is still not abandoned. And you know, once the contract agreement was signed up between Sterling Wilson and the utilities, so then thereon, whatever timeline was slated for, that is procedurally taking a little longer. That's the concern basically, but then the project is still on.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Saurabh Srivastava from Arista Consulting. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Am I audible, sir?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes, we can hear you.
Well, since you people are present at Khavda in a big way, and Adani Green is also present in a big way, is there any possibility that you may take their some part of OEM maintenance and maintenance part going forward? You may bid, or is there any plan of that sort?
Yes. So basically, not only Adani for sure. So they have invited us for the participations in the bids for the O&M portfolio. Other than the Adani, there are other ITPs which may also look for the third party O&M services. And we being the largest player, we will be looking for these kind of, you know, business opportunities.
That was my first question. In Nigerian energy model. And what's the status about this, the Reliance New Energy project? By what time can we see some sort of start?
Yeah, on Reliance, yeah, so I mean, I'm sorry, Pratik, you had asked on Reliance also. I missed responding to that question. So good that Saurabh has asked. So on the Reliance side, in the Khavda regions, in the Kutch region, I'll say not in Khavda, in the Kutch region nearby. So the prelims work, they have started. But while the modules manufacturing have commenced, it's difficult to say at this stage that when exactly it will start, but now it is expected that maybe Q1 of next financial year, they will start the tendering activities. So, it is more or less in line with the announcement that they have made in their press release on the various calls and other things, right? So now the Reliance projects are getting, momentum and the traction is happening around.
And then the last question, sir. There is a lot of buzz about this battery storage thing. So are we getting there also in a big way, sir?
Yeah, so basically, yes. So, the dynamics of the business today is that few contracts are being RFQ are being floated for the hybrid projects. So hybrid with solar and battery, or maybe wind and battery like this. And also the policy says that the 10% of the capacity of the solar plants necessarily have to be from this. So we had advantage of earlier starting one of the largest site projects in India with BSW. And a few projects on hybrid in international market. So the tenders are being out, and few of the projects are still stuck up because of tariff reduction. But then, yes, we are well placed for participating in all the bids that are going to be floated.
And what margin can we expect going forward in this segment?
It would be similar to the solar. Around 10% or so. Yeah.
Thank you.
Before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participants to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Maitri Shah from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, good evening. Am I audible?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. I just have a few questions. Firstly, on the clarification, how are you calculating the operational EBITDA, the number that you gave, 62 crores, in the presentation? If someone can clarify that.
So operational EBITDA is basically after our cost of material and services and recurring overheads.
So the guidance that we gave about 5.5-6% EBITDA margins that we want to maintain, is this the operational EBITDA percentage that we are guiding for?
That's right.
Okay. Any reason why there was a dip in the operational EBITDA, barring the exceptional item, that huge exceptional one-time loss that we had? There was still a dip in the operational EBITDA. Any reason for that?
Yes, as I mentioned in my opening remarks also, lot of revenue during the quarter came from the projects which are including module, and in those cases the revenue is high but the margins are low. So that's the reason operational EBITDA for the quarter was less.
So the current, I would say the current order book that we have of around 9,200 crores, could you give us a split of the projects that we would need to include our modules, and in the projects that we don't include our modules, what sort of split do we have in those order, in the order book?
Yeah, so out of the total 5 projects, the 4 are from domestic in these quarters, and one is just the turnkey, one is the turnkey EPC contract, which includes the module supply as well, and the one international, which is completely turnkey, so there also the module supply is part of the scope. Now since module market is pretty stable, so we may expect to better off the margins, in fact, going forward.
So now that we have a higher percentage of order book with modules included, do we expect the EBITDA margins to go down? Maybe like, even if the module market is pretty stable, do we expect the margins to even dip any further?
Not to go down. We can expect the around the same level of, yeah, flat, I mean, level. So
4 to 6%.
And any quantification, could you give me a range?
4 to 6% you can consider.
4 to 6%. Yeah. The next question I had was on the guidance. So we have been guiding for a 20% growth, and we had an exceptional growth in the first and the second quarter. And considering the 20% growth, we are seeing a 7% degrowth in our second half. So are we going to reiterate our guidance or like maybe increase it for the second half of the year?
We continue to maintain the same guidance, what we indicated in the start of the year, so around 20% growth in terms of revenue.
Okay. Yeah, that is it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to join the question queue, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Jayesh Shroff from Chess Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. So my first question is on the write-off. So we've written off the investment and the loan amount, but there is still a hanging sword of corporate guarantees that we've given to the subsidiary to the tune of 1,700 odd crores. So what is the status of that? I mean, it could be revoked in the future. I mean, is that danger still lurking?
So now if you see the net asset in our foreign subsidiary FZCO,
right,
that amount is recoverable, so there is no risk or negligible risk on the corporate guarantees being invoked, because the difference between standalone and consolidated net worth, we have already made a provision.
No, I didn't get it. Can you, if you can clarify? So
I'm saying yeah, earlier there was a difference between net worth of consolidated and standalone financials, because right, the losses, whatever international operations have incurred, those losses right, were accounted for in consolidated balance sheet.
Yes.
But that amount was considered good and recoverable in the standalone balance sheet.
Right.
Now, because we have made a provision against the investments and loans given from Indian entity to Dubai entity,
yes,
those losses have been accounted for. And now the net worth has been aligned between standalone and consolidated. So that's why the corporate guarantees, whatever have been given, primarily doesn't have big risk of invocation or doesn't have any big risk of having any future impact on our financial standalone.
So these guarantees are given to the banks, or these guarantees are given to our customers or counterparties who may actually, you know, as in the past.
Customers
can still revoke those guarantees. I mean, that risk still remains, right?
So to that extent, as I'm saying, to that extent, we have already incurred the loss, and that loss has already been booked.
No, that loss has been booked, but I mean, customers cannot claim additional amount as damages?
Like, one of the customers, they have invoked the bank guarantee.
Right.
And the money is already out. They have been paid.
Okay.
They got the amount. So that's why I'm saying, because the amount has already been paid to the customer against the bank guarantee whatever was issued by U.S. subsidiary. So there is no risk on corporate guarantee of Indian native to be invoked because the amount has been paid to the customer.
Right. So that may be one part, but like that, there may be many other customers who may still come and claim that, right?
Not exactly. There is all the litigations, whatever are there, those have already been accounted for and disclosed appropriately in the section.
Okay. But you earlier said that, you know, there is a very less chance of this getting revoked. So it is not a zero chance situation or something like that.
No, so basically there is no fresh cases, no? So all those old cases, legacy cases that we were discussing, so they are this kind of, you know, the situations we have already accounted for. So, I mean, going forward, all the orders that we are executing, they are all sound orders. And,
no,
and this kind of...
Completely agree. I'm saying that legacy customers cannot come back to claim liquidated damages or whatever kind of damages, additional damages from us.
So they have whatever, I mean, damages they were supposed to, I mean, claim, that they have already encashed the bank guarantee. And now the cases are under arbitration, I mean, the legal, right? So few of them are under arbitration, few of them in the court. So the, I mean, the consolidation of the cases have already happened. So then there is no fresh legacy cases where the, I mean, the new course of the legal actions is to be initiated. So to that extent, we say that the cases are known. We know that what was the impact, I mean, to be taken, they have already taken, right?
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. Okay. My second question is regarding the Reliance, you know, delayed Reliance order. So if Reliance has started manufacturing the modules, our understanding was that large amount of that module manufacturing, at least in the initial phase, was for captive consumption. So are they selling that in the international market, or and what is, I mean, is there any technical issue because of which the projects are getting delayed?
No, not really. So, I mean, we are really not sure about strategically, maybe they may be passing out, but since the technology is HJT, right? So, in domestic market, on the price parity point of view, I mean, they have to really reference it, them out, right? So, I mean, for the domestic participation, they have to seek some kind of references for the plants that they have supplied, and the performance is okay. But for international market, they have been supplying either from the Singapore factory and the other factories. So I don't think this is a concern, because AJT is the, I mean, one of the best technologies that have to happen. Slightly, it is costly at this stage of time. But going forward, for sure, this will be picking up the pace, right? And initially, yes, you are right. Initially, I mean, those will be used only for the domestic consumption, for their own captive consumption, right?
Right. And there is no plan on their side to take up EPC on their own or anything like that, right?
Oh, it's difficult to answer at this stage, but then the kind of, you know, the megawatt level that they are planning. So,
right.
I mean, definitely they would be distributing in few, right? So, and they will follow some kind of system, right? So, the system of selecting the EPC company. So we will also we will stay at the arm's length distance, but no reason that we should not be competing. Like for any other clients, we are competing, we are getting the larger share, right? So here also, then we are confident of getting, absolutely.
All right. I think that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to join the question queue, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Mohit from Hem Securities Limited. Please proceed.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, you can.
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, sir, apart from these three legal cases for which we have given this provision or the exceptional item in profit and loss account, what are the other legal cases that are still pending for which we haven't made the provisions yet? And if the outcome of those come against us, what will be the amount that will be charged to the profit and loss account?
All these legal cases, whatever is going on, has been appropriately disclosed in our financials. At this point in time, based on the legal advice and the status of those legal cases, we don't feel any amount will be charged in our profit loss account. We are already out of money in certain cases where our bank guarantees have been encashed. So we are fighting for that along with our claims against wrongful invocation of our bank guarantees.
And in case if those are charged against us, then what is the amount that will be covered from indemnity?
Most of the legal cases, whatever are going on, are covered under indemnity. This Conti was the largest case which was not covered under indemnity, and that's why the hit came on Sterling and Wilson.
Sir, can you explain how this 580 crore has been charged to profit and account, loss account. Is it the write-off of amount which we were expecting from our client plus this 56.80 crores which we are supposed to pay to them?
So one of the largest amount was already sitting in our receivables because we already executed the work and did the invoices. So that amount was lying in our receivable. Because we lost that case, the recoverability of the receivable has been written off, along with the legal expenses, likely legal expenses, and the interest cost in the said case.
And last question from my side. So, what will be the guidance for FY27?
Okay.
As we have the order book of around 9,000 crores in your books, so you have the visibility. So what will be the guidance for FY27?
So I think it will be better if you can wait for some time for the next quarter and then see finally. Otherwise, normally you can expect the similar growth that you have been witnessing, right? These quarters, the last quarters, the balance quarter or the next years. So I mean, industry is doing good. So we should be expecting the similar growth.
And are you planning for any fundraise like via QIP or through loans?
Not at this point in time. We have already raised some debt, as I mentioned in my remark. So at this point in time, we are not planning to raise any fresh equity.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to join the question queue, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Ishita Lodha from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So, the two L1 positions that you announced in Uttar Pradesh and Rajasthan, is it included in the order book of 9,300 crore or it does not include?
Yes, they are included.
Okay. So, when are we expecting the LOIs to come?
Normally, after the L1 announcement, it takes around 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
Intimation has already come, and intimation for the award positions or our, L1 positions have already come for these projects. Detailed LOA and contract signing will happen in 2 to 3 weeks time.
Okay. And apart from the 600 crores of exceptional item, any other non-recurring overheads charged in P&L in current quarter?
No.
Okay. So, this 600 crores is already paid and reflected in our cash flow or it will be paid in next half of the financial year?
No, it is not a cash flow of 600. It is not a cash outflow of 600 crore. The cash outflow would be around probably $8 to $10 million. So this is basically a reversal or receivables, whatever is not recoverable because of the adverse ruling from the arbitral tribunal.
Okay, got it. So the legal expenses and the interest cost, that is already paid or yet to be paid?
That is yet to be paid. That is yet to be finalized actually. So as of now, we got the interim order.
Okay.
The moment they'll issue the final order, that will be with the legal cost.
Got it. And can you give the split of the order book 9,300 crore? How much of this is BOS and how much of this is with modules?
So, sir, as I have told, I mean, sometime before, so out of the projects, five projects, right? So two projects, let's say the first one is which module is around 800 plus crores, and the second ones which have come from South Africa, so that would be around close to 1200 crores, right? Rest all are the BOS project.
Okay. And this time we have seen that your creditor days have decreased to 130 days. So I remember we were talking earlier in the call that we were getting support from the vendors in the form of supplier credit. So right now, what is the scenario?
So what happened during the quarter, we raised a debt, 475 crores from IREDA, and that has helped us in payment to creditors and reduction of creditors' age. Now we have, over and above, we now have sufficient non-fund-based limits from the banks, bank guarantees and NLCs, and we are also optimally utilizing our non-fund-based limits to get the credit period wherever we need. So we can get the LC issued for 180 days, where the vendor can get the discount, the LC discounted and get the money upfront, whereas we will get the credit of 180 days. So that flexibility is available because of our additional credit lines available.
So currently, how much of our non-fund-based limits are not utilized, which we can use for future order inflows?
So our utilization is around 80% total. So in terms of utilization changes every time, but around 1,000 crore would be the unutilized limit.
Okay.
And we are also getting support now from insurance companies in the form of surety bonds. So we have availed surety bonds from five insurance companies. Put together, the value would be in the range of 400 to 500 crore. So that is another option available to us. So we can, based on the cost and availability of credit lines, we can use our limits, banking limits, or surety bonds.
Okay. And what is the cost of this new IREDA term loan?
It's 11.15%.
Okay. Thank you. That's it from my side. And all the best.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to join the question queue. Next question is from the line of Faisal Hawa from HG Hawa and Company. Please proceed.
So, sir, this will lead to a whole cascading effect now to us because our net worth is eroded. And banks will now, downgrade our credit ratings. So, again, the liquidity will become tight. So, how do you propose to take even more orders and how will you execute those orders? Because even now, our suppliers will be wary of supplying to us.
So, generally, we have not seen bankers taking back the lines, whatever they have sanctioned, particularly the PSU banks. And if you see the recent sanctions, all sanctions are from PSU banks. So as of now, we don't foresee any major issue in terms of availability of credit lines.
No, just generally credit rating agencies are slow on this. So they will downgrade you in maximum 30 days from today. And when that happens, the interest rates will go higher and the projects that you have already taken will get difficult to execute. And what I am not able to understand is that there are three promoters sitting in this, but yet there is no one promoter who puts up his hand and says that I am going to take charge of the situation and get this company out of the mess it is into.
So in terms of cash flow, we will also get the amount from our erstwhile promoters in the form of indemnity payment, which is likely to come in November, around 175 crore. So cash flow wise also, we feel that will be quite good. and strong. And as I said, in terms of credit lines, even if the rating changes, we don't foresee any issue in withdrawal of existing credit lines, whatever we have, because these are from PSU banks, and earlier also we have not seen PSU banks withdrawing the limit. So we are hopeful that there won't be any significant impact in our credit lines as well as in terms of business forecast, whatever we have projected.
And sir, I mean, if at all there is some problem with the credit line, do we then expect that our turnover will just remain stagnant at what we are at, or because taking more orders would then be extremely risky?
No, so not really. I mean, business growth will happen. So because of this one-time impact, and if, as Anish has already told, that it has not majorly impacted on the cash flow side. And the apprehensions of rating reduced and all, that in any case, if it is not going to impact our, you know, the limits and other things, then we have ability to expand further and the business growth will happen. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Naveen from Sai Investments Limited. Please go ahead.
Hey, am I audible?
Yes,
please go ahead.
Yeah, so I think I don't have any question, but I have suggestion because I'm following all the calls from last 3 to 4 years. So I'll point out specific things. So I think that management should take care of it. So this one-time cost which happened just now, so from last 3 years, I think when we were creating the balance sheet for, like we were saying, there will be no any this kind of write-off again. I think before 3 years. So the same thing happened 3 years before, and I think it's the same story is repeating. And previously, I think two quarters back when we have this war kind of situation, one of the person in the call, he pointed it out that what will be the impact if in situation of a war, then I think the CEO laughed and then they say, oh no, there will be not any impact. But when the next quarter come and the impact has been shown. So this shows, and one more is like when we removed or say the CEO, he stepped down, the promised over and then delivering less. So I think something is not setting up right. So we are here just to support or it's our benefit also, but we are thinking or betting on the company and to the management, but we don't think things are what you are delivering, saying, and what is executing is all on the same page. Or either you are not able to see what is coming. Yeah, that's all from my side. You can respond, sir, if you can come back.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question for the day. With that, we conclude today's conference call. On behalf of Sterling and Wilson Renewable Energy Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.